pounded on Stephen's back to no avail. He was twice her size and determined to get as far away from the shark as possible.
Stephen, just listen to me. If you turn around now, it'll take less than a minute to circle back and grab Ollie.
He looked down at her with fire in his eyes.
A minute is 59 seconds longer than that damn shark needs to devour us. There's no way. I'm going back there. No way.
Not even to save our friend's life?
He turned away from her.
Especially not.
She couldn't just leave Ollie out there. Scanning the deck of the Sarah Kay, she found a retro aluminum cooler. Tara grabbed the sides of the cooler. Heaving it with all her might, she brought the edge of the cooler down on the back of Stephen's head. He slumped over the wheel, jerking the boat hard to the left.
Oh.
She grabbed the wheel and checked on Stephen. There was a nasty cut in his head, but he was breathing. Turning the boat around, she searched for the human shape she'd seen flailing on the surface. For all she knew, she was too late. Tara was about to give up when she saw a hand claw through the rough water. She sped as fast as she dared toward it. Tara cut the engine back as soon as she got within 10 yards of the hand. It was the only thing above water. Damn you, Stephen, she cursed, knowing his hesitation had cost Ollie his life. If all she could do was retrieve Ollie's body, that would have to be enough. She felt a sudden wave of pity towards Stephen, who wouldn't be able to do the same for Heidi. Unable to navigate the boat comfortably, Tara hoped the tide would push her closer toward Ollie. What she didn't expect was the rush of water from below as the ocean exploded, tipping the boat on its side. Ollie felt something sharp and heavy slam into his legs. The smuggler that he'd been struggling with on the roof held on to his leg and wouldn't let go, dragging Ollie down with him. Suddenly, he was rocketing toward the surface, breaking through the water and sailing into the sky. Tumbling ass over heels, he finally slipped free from the smuggler's dead grasp. Ollie looked down before spinning skyward once more. The megalodon poked its conical head from the ocean, rows of teeth pulling back, gums quavering as it waited for its next morsel. Before he turned completely around, he saw the smuggler slip into the shark's mouth, hitting its tongue, before disappearing down its gullet. That's going to be me, Ollie thought with sickening clarity. Falling toward the Pacific, he just hoped Tara and Lenny had somehow managed to find a way out. He hit the water knees first. Ollie went under. He floated to the surface, gasping for air.
Ollie!
No, that was impossible.
Ollie, over here!
He craned his neck to the sound of the woman's voice. When he saw Tara, tears sprung from his eyes. He feebly reached out for her. She was hanging on to the underside of a boat, extending her arm to him. She was too far away. He'd have to swim at least 25 yards to her, and he just didn't have the strength or ability. The simple act of keeping afloat was taxing his limited skills. The open wounds in his shoulder, nipple, and thigh burned from the salt water.
I'm so sorry.
You don't have anything to be sorry for.
She looked equally spent. They bobbed on the water, so close, yet too far.
Is Lenny...
I don't know. I lost him and Stephen when we capsized.
Stephen's still alive?
He was. He got your boat and came back for us.
They gazed into each other's tired eyes. He could tell there was more she wanted to say, but she was keeping it to herself. So this was it. They'd made it back to one another and just had to wait for the shark to finish them off. Ollie wished to hell there was some way to save Tara, but he knew that ship had sailed.
Look!
He paddled his body around to see where she was staring. It was so hard staying afloat. Every muscle felt like it was on fire. The shark's fin cruised not far behind him. It was coming for them.
Tara, I just want you to know something.
I know.
I have to say it at least once before I die.
His mouth dipped underwater, and he spit out a long stream of salty water.
I love you.
She gave him a weak smile.
I've known that for a long time.
You have?
Subtlety isn't one of your strong points.
I should have told you sooner.
I think you timed it just right. It's a beautiful thing to hear before... before...
Her eyes grew as wide as dinner plates. Ollie looked back. The shark was coming right for them, fast as a bullet train. He was finally at peace. It took winning an enormous lottery, rebuilding an island, uprooting the lives of his college friends, and watching it all fall to pieces to finally find comfort. Ollie closed his eyes, waiting for the shark's jaws to clamp around him. The ocean surged, pushing him toward Tara. The overturned boat rose and dipped, Tara clinging to it desperately.
Where did it go?
Ollie peeked over his shoulder. The dorsal fin was gone. The water calmed.
I don't know.
He'd bet everything he'd won that the damn demon shark was just under them, plotting the most hideous way to take their lives. Tara managed to snag his shirt and pull him against her. He eagerly gripped the boat, the blessed relief from trying to tread water this side of euphoric, no matter how fleeting it would be.
Hey!
Ollie heard Steven, but couldn't find him.
Steven!
Where are you guys?
By the boat!
I can't see him anywhere.
Me neither.
Ollie and Tara made their way around the upturned boat, sliding their hands across the hull. Rounding the bow, Ollie spotted Steven. He had one arm draped over Lenny, though the man's floating body no longer looked anything like him. Steven managed to swim to the boat. Lenny floated on his back.
Is he still alive?
Tara jerked her hand away. Like Ollie, she had assumed Lenny was gone.
Just stay relaxed.
He knew the moment Lenny stiffened, he was going to start to sink. Lenny weakly lifted a blackened arm.
Jesus, look at me. I must look like a floating turd.
How does it feel?
It doesn't burn so much anymore. I think my nerves got fried. Everything inside me feels off.
Ollie, have you seen Heidi?
Ollie shook his head. He saw the grief in Steven's eyes and couldn't help feeling ashamed.
Where's our friend, the shark?
He'd closed his eyes and had a serene smile on his charcoal lips.
I don't know. It disappeared. It could be anywhere.
The absence of the shark was starting to wear on Ollie's remaining resolve. It was one thing to grimly accept your fate. It was another to think it was coming and be forced to wait, not knowing when to expect it.
How far are we from shore?
I don't think there is a shore anymore.
All he could see was water and floating debris.
You need to find someplace safe and leave me here.
We're not doing that.
Lenny opened one eye, twisted his head, and gazed at the water.
You're gonna have to. It looks like I've started to leak.
Lenny saw the undulating tendrils of what looked like an oil slick around him. Black ichor oozed from every pore, polluting the water. Ollie, Tara, and Steven had smartly moved away from him, but only after his calm insistence.
They turned me into a squid.
Glancing out from the corner of his eye, he saw his friends clinging to the boat, too close for comfort.
You guys need to haul some ass. There may be some dry land left. Find it.
We can't just leave you here to die.
I'm already dead. Now I know how Heidi felt. At least let me die in peace, thinking you knuckleheads found a way out of this.
No one spoke. Lenny closed his eyes again. Each breath was a struggle. He was happy to hear the sound of their paddling away. The creature sank into colder and colder layers of water. It was no longer able to maintain its frenzy. Its cells were switching off, returning to the dark, dormant place where it had lain for decades. Not that it had any concept of time. There was only the moment, and each moment was controlled by the simple instinct to feed. But there was no longer enough of the special meat to sustain it. The Megalodon had no thoughts as it plunged into the Pacific. Its hunger ceased to be a driving force. Its ears and nose detected something strange in the distance, something large, but not food. It was of no concern to the shark. As the neurons in its prehistoric brain went to sleep, the electrical pulses in its synaptic pathways glowed less and less. Soon, only the bare minimum of brain function would remain, just enough to maintain stasis for as long as was needed. Its vision had just begun to fade when the shark detected something else. Its brain went into instant high alert. Food was near. The Megalodon shook off its impending slumber. Adrenaline shot through its system. It soared toward the surface, following the chemical trail to the meat it craved. Ollie kept looking back toward Lenny. His friend floated, hands clasped together and resting on his chest in a classic death repose. It looked as if his skin was actually starting to fall from his skull like melting candle wax. He couldn't begin to imagine what kind of chemical reaction was occurring inside Lenny. Harder to fathom was the diseased mind that would dream up such a thing. Tara urged him on. Steven had pulled ahead of them. Ollie thought he heard Steven crying as he swam. What was the point? Everything was gone. All they were doing was delaying the inevitable. But as long as Tara held out hope, so would he.
I think I see something. Over there.
She slowed down so he could catch up to her. She pointed to the top of a palm tree several hundred yards away. A good 10 feet of the tree was visible above the water. The skinny tree wasn't enough to renew his vigor and infuse him with optimism. It seemed so far away. There was no way he'd be able to make it. And even if he did, how long could three people manage to last clinging to the weakened branches of a tree in the middle of the ocean?
Thank God. It's about time we caught a break.
Tara smiled.
We were overdue.
You think you can make it?
With my eyes closed.
Best to keep them open. You don't want to swim in the wrong direction.
Steven saw it as well, because he paused in his side stroke to call back to them.
You guys see that? Come on!
He attacked the water like an Olympian at tryouts. Ollie toiled just to swim the next several yards. Tara sensed his flagging strength and stayed close to him.
You go on ahead. Don't worry. Slow and steady wins the race.
Then we'll go slow and steady together.
Ollie felt the water surge underneath him.
Shit!
That could mean only one thing. The Megalodon was returning. It was so massive and so fast, even the ocean fled from it. They stopped swimming and clung to one another. Instead of the sensation of being run over by a train, they heard a tremendous explosion of water behind them. Ollie turned to witness the moment the shark shattered the surface, swallowing Lenny whole. The Megalodon flopped back into the water seconds after securing its prey.
The target has stopped.
Captain Powell looked at the monitor. The Megalodon had gone still and was slowly sinking back to the ocean floor. He'd asked Lewis to prepare a team of divers. Once the shark had run out of gas, they would have to somehow lock the thing back up. If its cage was too badly damaged, he would make the call, and they'd have to babysit it until a replacement was sent from the naval base in Australia. He didn't relish the thought of spending any more time than was necessary around that abomination. If it came awake again, his instinct would be to unleash every torpedo the Maximus had at it. But you can't do that. I'm not going to throw 34 years in the crapper over this. Unless it's a matter of the lives of my crew over the science experiment cooked up by some eggheads before I was even born.
Make a slow and steady approach. Let's wrap this up as soon as possible.
Seconds after devouring Lenny, the Megalodon went berserk. It writhed in the water, leaping and diving for no apparent reason. The only silver lining was that in its mad water dance, it hadn't taken notice of the three humans desperately swimming for the lone palm tree. Something about the manic intensity of the shark brought renewed strength to Ollie's spent muscles. Steven had put some serious distance between them and was almost at the tree. Ollie knew Tara wasn't giving it her all, so she didn't leave him in the dust.
Almost there.
Ollie's lungs labored too much to reply. He kept swallowing small mouthfuls of water. His tongue was swollen from all the salt. His heart beat a little bit faster when he saw that there was a patch of land just behind the palm tree. Steven leapt out of the water and let out a primal scream. Ollie couldn't tell whether it was relief, victory, anger, or insanity. He suspected it was a combination of all of them. He and Tara struggled to join him, the sight of land giving them strength. The patch of island above water was about 10 feet by 10 feet. Limbs shaking uncontrollably, Ollie collapsed on his side. Tara and Steven dropped as well. Ollie noticed with a tinge of relief that somewhere along the way, the butterfly knife had fallen out of his leg. It didn't nick any major arteries, so he wasn't bleeding to death. Tara's face was just inches from Ollie's. Her eyes were so glassy, distant, he couldn't catch his breath to talk.
Anyone know what the fuck we do now?
Steven was lying on his back, staring at the parting clouds. Ollie managed to twist his body enough to look over where the shark still flipped about.
I think it's lost its mind.
It's like whatever was inside Lenny was a kind of shark steroid.
Ollie was shocked by how right his friend probably was. Assuming it had gotten hold of Heidi in the lab, it went into full-on crazy mode. It wasn't a coincidence that it seemed to get a burst of adrenaline right after swallowing Lenny. Ollie's gut twisted in a knot. He pictured the faces of Lenny, Heidi, Lee, and Marco.
You think anyone will come out to check on us?
Eventually. Lee's husband will head out the second it's possible. I just hope the storm missed his island. If it laid waste to the entire area, well...
Tara raised her hand with visible difficulty and laid it on the side of his neck.
None of this is your fault.
He wished he could believe her.
It is, if you ask me.
That was more like it.
You think Ollie set all of this up?
I know. I know Marco was responsible for some of it. And since he's not here, it looks like he got what was coming to him.
Cut it out, Cooter.
Oh, fuck you.
When did you become such a pussy?
Guys, stop it. Steven's right. If I didn't bring you all here, everyone would be alive.
Tara gave his neck a squeeze.
Don't you ever apologize for wanting to share your paradise with us.
I just should have known better. Since when did things ever go my way? That money came with a set of conditions I should have seen coming.
No one, and I mean no one, could have seen this coming. Even Steven has to agree with me on that.
Steven didn't respond, but at least he wasn't fighting.
So now I guess we just sit and wait.
And I haven't forgotten you hitting me in the head on the boat.
Fine. Happy to be on your shit list.
As much as he hated to do it, Ollie shifted away from Tara, her hand slipping from his neck. It took a monumental effort to get into a sitting position. With his arms resting on his knees, he watched the dorsal fin go round and round, still hovering over where the lab had been. Even though he was sitting on firm ground, he didn't feel the least bit safe. That beast could swarm over them with a simple surge.
Just stay over there.
The fin dipped underwater, mammoth ripples spreading in every direction in its wake. Ollie held his breath as he counted the seconds, waiting for it to return.
I think it's gone.
He looked over at Tara. She had fallen asleep. Even Stephen had passed out. Ollie was exhausted. They had the right idea. Closing his eyes, he draped his arm over Tara. If the shark wanted them so bad, there was nothing they could do about it. Ollie couldn't fight off a sand flea, much less an oceanic dinosaur. He tried to find a happy place to retreat to, but could only relive every horrid moment of that day. Ollie struggled to shut his mind down. What was left of their little world exploded before he could find peace. Captain Powell couldn't believe what he was seeing.
God damn it, pull back! Pull back!
They had waited until the shark had finally gone still. Everyone on the bridge watched in rapt silence as the creature slowly sank. The Tempest had moved on the same time as the Megalodon had run out of gas. For the first time in this entire shitstorm of an assignment, things were going their way. Then something revived the damn beast, and it was back in manic action. Luckily, they were still submerged. The plan was to surface and deploy the divers to assess the damage to the special cage that had been installed under the island. Now it was all hands on deck as they veered away from the mad beast, hoping they didn't capture its attention. He turned to his XO.
What the hell got it all started up again? I thought it was supposed to starve itself into dormancy. Something is damn well feeding it. The lab and the island are wiped out. Any civilians around it are most assuredly gone too. There's no telling how long we'll have to wait before we can try again.
The captain paced in the cramped space, fist balled in his pockets. His XO pointed to the sonar. It was coming right for them. And it was coming fast. The Maximus had been designed for speed and stealth, but it was still no match for the Megalodon. The shark could also outmaneuver them with ease. So there was no retreat, no evasive action they could take without getting rammed by the science experiment gone wrong. The decision had been taken out of his hands. Everything that happened inside and outside the sub was recorded. Admiral Keyes would see there was nothing they could do to salvage the situation. Right now, all that mattered were the lives of his crew and preserving the Maximus.
Prepare to blow that thing out of the water!
The alarms were set off, so everyone aboard knew what to expect. Lewis called down to the torpedo room to make sure they were locked and loaded. Powell ordered the sub to face the shark head on. There was no room for mistakes. If they missed, they were done for.
Hold steady!
Just a little bit closer. The shark cut through the water as if it were air. The Maximus stayed tried and true on a collision course with the beast.
Keep coming, you mindless freak.
He hoped no one could hear him. The automatic alarm tripped on, signaling a collision was imminent.
Fire!
The submarine shuddered as twin torpedoes shot forward. They detonated shortly after launching. Powell allowed himself to exhale. A direct hit. The imminent collision alarm continued to bleat. Incoming target, 5 seconds to impact.
It's not possible.
It was never supposed to come to this. That goddamn Megalodon was supposed to be in hibernation, and the Maximus was supposed to be parked safely off Australia. The impact was jarring. Captain Powell was thrown off his feet, his skull crunching on metal. The Maximus split in half. The only mercy was the fact that the death of all those aboard came swiftly. No one felt the Megalodon chew them to sinewy shreds as their bodies were sucked out of the damaged sub. The creature felt pain for the first time in its existence. Anger fueled its attack on the long beast that had wounded it. Small, tasty morsels spilled from its guts. The Megalodon made quick work of them. When all was done and there was no more food to be found, especially not the food it truly craved, the Megalodon still smelled fresh blood in the water. It swam in swirls of it. But something wasn't quite right about this blood. The scent didn't ignite its hunger. There was no way for its prehistoric brain to know that it was awash in its own blood. shrapnel from the exploding torpedoes had ripped away chunks of flesh and muscle from the creature. Not that they had done enough to stop it. The pain only seemed to make it stronger. It needed something on which to take out its aggression. The programming done to it prevented it from venturing too far. The lab had been obliterated, and there would be no more of its special food. But there was no way for it to ever know that. So it stalked the ocean, searching for food and prey, the searing pain in its flank driving it mad. What was left of the island vibrated. The visible half of the palm tree swayed. Ollie watched in horror as a gigantic plume of water exploded several hundred yards from their meager shelter.
Now, what the fuck was that?
You think those smugglers planted a bomb?
Tara was now up and sitting next to Ollie.
That's too far out. The island didn't stretch that far.
Then what could it be?
The shark?
Not without it breaching the surface.
Maybe. Maybe the storm activated one of those underwater volcanoes or fault lines. This whole area could be ready to blow. Oh, Christ. What are we gonna do?
Steven jumped to his feet, pacing and running his hands over his scalp frantically.
Just hold on a second. I don't feel anything else.
The island and the ocean had gone still. The great geyser of water had returned to its rightful place. The trio remained stock still for minutes that felt like days. When nothing further happened, Ollie finally allowed his frayed nerves and muscles to relax.
Whatever it was, it's gone.
Maybe that shark tripped a mine that was left over from the war or something.
They were all soaked to the bone, chilled from shock and exhaustion. Tara tugged on Ollie's arm, pointing.
Look at all that!
It was hard to make out any details, but it looked like all sorts of debris. Standing up to get a better look, Ollie strained his eyes.
What is all that stuff?
Something exploded, and I don't think it was the shark.
I bet it was a submarine. It was a submarine that had been sent to save us, and now even that's gone. Fuck!
Calm the hell down, Steven. Why would a submarine be sent to this island? That doesn't make any sense. We haven't been able to send out a distress call. No one knows what happened out here.
Steven jabbed his finger in the direction of the floating wreckage.
Somebody knows. Somebody knows for sure, and now they're dead too. Everybody dies out here. Just like we're gonna die.
Tara looked to Ollie. What could he say? He thought Steven was right. He checked the tide mark on the sand. It hadn't receded so much as an inch, but it also hadn't crept further up their tiny patch of temporary salvation. Ollie wondered what all of the bungalows looked like. Were they intact, or had all of the work been reduced to splinters? Maybe what they were seeing was the bobbing remains of his dream. It didn't matter. All that was left of them was sitting out here and dying of thirst. Unless Lee's husband Lucky would make a dash for the island the second it was possible, Ollie's heart quickened. He saw Tara shivering and put an arm over her. She rested her head against him.
What I wouldn't give for a warm blanket and a bottle of whiskey.
I'd settle for just the whiskey. Wild Turkey Reserve. We deserve the good stuff.
We're all gonna die.
Steven continued to pace behind them.
Remember when we found a bottle of Turkey Reserve in New Hampshire on that skiing trip on Christmas break?
That's where I fell in love with it. We were so smashed that whole time. It's a miracle we didn't end up in traction.
I guess we used up all of our miracles on that trip.
He pulled her closer, smelling the brine in her hair.
The fact that we're still here talking about it is a miracle.
Oh yeah? Then what's that?
The shark's dorsal fin crept into view, cleaving through the wreckage. Ollie felt all of his muscles go limp. Shit. There was no way Lucky could make it past the shark. Now he prayed the man wasn't speeding toward the island. If the shark got him, yes, a search party would be sent to find him. The shark would be sure to devour them, too. All Ollie, Tara, and Steven could do was cling to the remains of his island and watch the cavalry get cut down one by one while dehydration worked on stopping their hearts. Ollie abruptly stood and stormed into the water, stopping when it was up to his hips.
Ollie, get out of the water!
Do not tempt that thing!
Ollie leveled his gaze at the visible triangle of the shark.
It can't come here. It's too shallow.
But maybe it can get under us, just like at the lab. Get out of the goddamn water!
He headed toward Ollie, stopping the moment his feet touched the water. Ollie would give anything for a chance to take that abomination out. All he could do was stand in its territory and pound his fists impotently into the water. He'd never felt so small in his life. He gave a start when Tara grabbed his hand.
Come on! There's nothing we can do.
She led him back to semi-dry land. She was right. What could he do against a dinosaur shark? He looked down and saw blood in the water around Tara.
Hey, are you okay?
She followed his gaze and nudged him away from her.
Great! Now I have my period. Why not?
Ollie went to console her, but a quick look told him he would embarrass her if he got too close.
Ollie's
spine went
Ollie,
rigid.
Ollie,
the shark
Ollie,
was heading
Ollie,
right for them,
Ollie,
coming on
Ollie.
Faster now. He grabbed Tara by the waist and carried her to the meager shore.
You said it can't get us, right?
Ollie couldn't take his eyes off the fin. How could something that big move so fast?
We're safe here, right, Ollie? Right?
Ollie made sure Tara was behind him, a futile gesture at best, and braced for impact. Tara watched in horror as the megalodon shot out of the ocean. Its gargantuan body blocked out the reappearing sun as it sailed toward them. Her only thought was, this isn't possible. How could it know they were here? Its lair was the ocean. It should be as unaware of what happened on land as they were of what went on in the murky depths of the sea. As it sailed toward them like a fighter jet, she knew the answer. It was coming for her. If she hadn't gone in the water for Ollie, it would have continued to patrol the water, blissfully unaware of their existence. Ollie shoved her so hard, she lost her footing and landed on her back. The entire megalodon was now out of the water. It was the largest thing she or any living person would ever see. Not that she'd be among the living for long.
Get down, Steven!
Ollie dove on top of Tara. The shark's momentum had been too great. There was a tremendous crack. It sailed over the small parcel left of Grand Isle of Tiburon, landing with a tremendous splash back into the ocean behind them. She squirmed under Ollie, trying to catch a glimpse of it. She spotted its sleek, silvery body as it slipped back into the sea. Tara and Ollie separated, rising to their hands and knees. The palm tree had been obliterated by the passing beast. Steven was somehow still on his feet.
You okay, Steven?
His eyes swiveled toward her, but his head remained in a fixed position.
Steven?
Ollie helped her to her feet. Steven's arms dropped limply at his sides.
I think he's lost it.
Slowly, they approached him. Tara was the first to see the blood leaking down his neck. She edged around him. The entire top of his skull was gone. Blood and brain matter pulped from the open wound, trickling down his neck.
Ollie!
She hoped he'd help her lay Steven down. It was too late. Steven's legs went out from under him. The second his head hit the sand, his brain poured from his open skull. Ollie shrieked at the grisly sight.
Holy crap, Christ!
Steven's limbs twitched as his eyes rolled to the top of his head, his mouth going slack. Tara wanted to help him, but what could she possibly do? Ollie's hands gripped her upper arms, keeping her from rushing to Steven's side. In a few seconds, the twitching stopped. Steven's chest rose once, then deflated forever.
How?
The shark's skin must have grazed him. It's the only thing I can think of. Their skin looks smooth, but it's actually like a cheese grater if you've run your hand along it the wrong way. Oh, Steven!
Tara wasn't necessarily crying for Steven, but for everyone. She collapsed into Ollie, who managed to guide them as far as they could get from his body, which wasn't far at all.
It's going to come back, and it'll do the same thing to us.
I won't let it.
She pulled away from him.
How can you say that?
Ollie's jaw tightened, eyes narrowing.
Because I won't.
Tara didn't try to refute him. What was the point? The poor guy's inner rage had always gotten the best of him. Maybe this time, that rage would save him from losing what little senses he had left as she felt her own slipping away. Perhaps his rage would assure him that he would die fighting, never lingering on fear or regret. She wished she had that same fire. Ollie tromped into the water where the palm tree had stood. Jagged shards were all that was left. Grabbing one of the thickest shards with both hands, he began to tug at it.
What are you doing?
I don't really fucking know. I just know that I need some kind of weapon.
Ollie continued trying to break the wood shard free. Tara scanned the ocean, searching for the shark. It had gone under, which made her even more nervous. It could be anywhere right now. Ollie's scream gave her a scare. She whipped around to see what had happened. He stood in the water, smiling, holding a makeshift spear in one hand.
Now, first things first.
He strode back onto the remains of the island and jammed the blunt end of the spear in the sand and started digging.
Feel free to give me a hand.
With what?
Making you a shelter.
A shelter?
Please, just dig.
She saw there was no arguing with them, so she dropped to her knees and scooped out sand with her hands. Together, they managed to make a good-sized hole, big enough for her to lie in.
Now what?
He pointed the sharp end of the shard over her shoulder. The shark's fin had returned.
Now you get in that hole so it can't get you.
She tugged at his arm.
You're getting in too.
It's not big enough.
We can squeeze in. Stop being ridiculous.
He cupped her face in his hand.
Tara, please get in the hole. It's coming. We don't have much time.
When she didn't move, he pushed her into the hole. She heard the shark burst from the ocean. Ollie, standing by the edge of the hole, hoisted the shard over his head with both hands. The shadow of the shark came into view before the actual megalodon.
Ollie!
In a flash, the shark sailed over the hole, and Ollie and the shark were gone. Tara scrambled up the crumbling sand, her chest heaving so hard, she thought her heart would burst. Tara made her way out of the hole.
Ollie!
Tears
Ollie,
streamed down her face. Ollie lay at the water's edge. He was pretty sure both of his shoulders were dislocated. The pain was mind-numbing. His hands tingled. The pain was all the proof he needed that he was alive. Tara dropped into the water next to him.
I thought you were...
Knock on wood. Oh, looks like I lost it.
He looked around. When she tried to help him up...
Where does it hurt?
I think my shoulders are out.
She inspected both shoulders, her brows knit in concern.
I can see the bones are where they shouldn't be, even without an x-ray.
Whatever you do, don't try to put them in.
But it'll stop the pain.
I'll live with it. Besides, have you ever put a shoulder back in place?
There wasn't much call for it at the vet's.
Exactly.
With her gentle assistance, he was able to stand. He kept looking back at the ocean, expecting that vile fin to pop up. She half carried him to the hole, helping him slip inside. She worked hard and fast to expand it so they could both fit inside.
What the hell did you do?
I think I stabbed it.
He recalled the massive blow as he jabbed the shard into the shark as it careened into him. He felt something give way, and then the shard was ripped from his hands, nearly taking his arms with it. Of course, the shark didn't make a sound. There was no way to tell if Ollie had done anything more than scratch it. But he was pretty sure that by some sort of divine intervention, he had managed to spear the damned creature's eye. There were remnants of some strange, viscous jelly on his hands.
Does that look like eye juice to you?
He closed his fingers together, then pulled them apart, the sticky fluid forming little glue-like strands between them. Tara's lip curled.
I don't know, but it smells awful.
Ollie lay on his back. He was too tired to keep his eyes open. It can't get us in here, he thought, the darkness creeping toward him. This hole will be a grave before we know it. I don't care anymore. At least we'll die together. The creature's vision wavered. It was confused. There was new pain now, arcing through its head. Its sight, never being one of its strengths, was now severely compromised. It wanted to kill, to eat the pain away. But something else was wrong. Swimming became more difficult. An unbearable weariness swept through its gigantic body. Growing weaker by the moment, it searched for the food it needed to sustain itself. There was none to be had. Even its anger couldn't overcome the pull of hibernation. The megalodon began to sink, no longer able to propel itself through the water. Bit by bit, its brain began to shut down. The long, dark place was waiting for it. Waiting. Wait. Wait.
Woo!
Tara's loud whooping woke Ollie from his slumber.
Tara?
Her head popped over the hole.
There's a boat!
The smile took up half her face.
Is it close?
Yes, they saw me wave them down.
You see the shark?
No, I haven't seen it for hours.
How long have I been out?
A long time. You slept all day and night.
I slept a whole day?
Pretty close.
A whole day without the shark being spotted. Was it possible? Tara slipped out of view.
Over here! Over here!
The sound of a boat's engine lulled him back to sleep.
You awake?
He rubbed his eyes, sitting up in bed.
I am now.
Tara slipped into the room. She wore a fluffy white robe, courtesy of the hotel.
Breakfast is here. I had them set it up on the balcony. It's a beautiful day.
I'll be right there.
She closed the door behind her, and he got up. The body slings he'd had to wear on both arms had come off yesterday. He had a lot of physical therapy ahead of him.
Guess this is all part of learning to appreciate the little things.
After slowly and carefully putting on his robe, Ollie walked to the suite's main living area. The sliding door to the balcony was wide open. Tara sat at the table.
Look at you dressing yourself. How does it feel?
Tara smiled as she spoke.
Like I'm no longer a helpless baby.
He sat opposite her, shakily reaching for a small glass of orange juice.
I told the nurse her services were no longer needed.
Thank you.
You want to do anything special today?
He looked out at the trees and mountains, the sun peeking over the ridge. It was breathtaking. And best of all, there was nary a sign of water. The high-priced resort was blessedly landlocked.
I have a call with the contractor around 2.
I guess you don't need me to take notes anymore.
No, but I want you there. One of the houses they're building is yours. I know he loves to hear your 2 cents.
Hearty har har.
She munched on her toast. Once they made it back stateside, Ollie had gotten right to work looking for some place for him and Tara to live. Tara's would be right next to his, in a wooded area in Colorado. Staying in the hotel had actually been part of the healing process, both physically and mentally. Tara's night terrors had decreased, but at least Ollie was always nearby to comfort her when they hit. But the time would come when they needed to move on. They had a hell of a fish story to tell, but they'd been sworn to secrecy by the U.S. military. Ollie got the feeling that if word ever got out about what happened on the island, he and Tara would disappear. It would have been the stuff of legend, his killing the Megalodon with nothing but a shard of wood. After Lucky had rescued them, the Navy frigate had come to the island. Ollie and Tara had become reluctant sensations, the nearby islands abuzz over the lone survivors of the storm. Ollie and Tara had been smart not to tell Lucky or anyone else about the shark or the smugglers. Poor Lucky had been devastated. Ollie promised to make sure that he and his entire family would be taken care of, but it couldn't replace lovely Lee. He and Tara had been called to a debriefing with an admiral. The man's presence was enough to convey the importance of what had gone down. He never outright claimed proprietorship over the Megalodon, but he didn't have to. Ollie and Tara were grilled for 5 days. Every scrap of information was extracted from them. When he told the admiral that he had slayed the beast, the stern man flashed a hint of a smile, as if to say, "Sure, son, you go on believing that." Ollie had the feeling that the drug lord, Donovan Bailey, was going to be paid a visit. Even though he hadn't been witness to what happened, the Navy wasn't going to take any chances. For now, Ollie and Tara were safe. They would remain so as long as they never spoke a word of what had happened to them. The threats they had received in that regard weren't the least bit veiled or vague. His dreams of he and Tara falling in love after surviving their ordeal had to be readjusted after she confessed to him that she had come out as a lesbian the year after they'd graduated college.
I have guys like Lenny and Steven to thank for helping me come to my senses.
The mention of their names had brought tears to both their eyes. So they might never become lovers, but they would always be the best of friends. And Ollie was okay with that. Admiral Keyes stationed himself on the bridge, scanning the horizon with binoculars. He spoke to his men.
Looks like there's nothing left. The storm did a damn good job leveling the island. No matter. It's what's below that matters most.
Operation Revive was going to be a massive undertaking. Submarines had located the asset. The Admiral wanted to be on hand to make sure the transport to the new underwater facility went off without a hitch. A lot of money had been spent to get it right this time. Billions of black budget funds went into making sure the Megalodon was secure. The power of the creature was undeniable. If it could do to the Russian and Chinese fleets what it had done to the Maximus, the United States would control the water and the world. They just needed to fine-tune the beast. How that was to be done, the Admiral would leave to the scientists. Plans were already underway for making a second Megalodon, and a third, and so on, until they had an asset in every major body of water. There might come a day when ships like the one he was on were obsolete. Robots on land, drones in the air, and fucking sharks in the water. Admiral Keyes had personally interrogated Ollie Arias and Tara McShane after they'd been rescued from the island. He'd made it abundantly clear that they were to never speak of what happened. His original intention was to make them disappear. But after spending time with them and hearing what they'd been through, he decided to let them pick up the pieces and live their lives. He was sworn to protect U.S. citizens, not kill them. So far, they'd kept quiet. He hoped it would stay that way. The asset was locked and ready to roll. Admiral Keyes puffed out his chest.
Gentlemen, proceed.
We hope you have enjoyed this production of Megalodon in Paradise by Hunter Shea. Narrated by Phil Curran, with performances by Sky Soleil as Stephen Cooter Combs, Marlene Angelides as Heidi Combs, Brian Bernard as Lenny Burke, Michael Hogan as Ollie Arias, Alessandra Levy as Tara McShane, Mylei Wei as Lee Malalo, Francisco Almenara as Nacho, and Jason Udoff as Marco Conti. Also with Brian Bernard, Sky Soleil, Jason Udoff, Michael Hogan, Mike Pollock, and Aiden Cade Goldsmith. Adapted for graphic audio by Graphic Audio, Octavia McKenzie, and The Wilders. Directed by Lisa Brooke. Dialogue editing and graphic audio sound design by The Wilders. Recorded by Desiree Da Silva. Produced by Colleen Delaney, Scott McCormick, David Zitney, Casey Green, and Aaron Coe. Executive producers Angie Cornett, Dwayne Beeman, and Matt Webb. If you enjoyed Megalodon in Paradise, you might also enjoy Fury of the Orcas, Savage Jungle, The Montauk Monster, and The Jersey Devil. Copyright 2017 by Hunter Shea. Published by arrangement with Severed Press. All rights reserved. Sound recording copyright 2025 by Graphic Audio LLC. All rights reserved. Graphic Audio is an RB Media audio brand. Unauthorized download and/or duplication is prohibited. Thank you for listening. Discover audiobook giveaways, discounts, new releases, recommendations, and more from RB Media, the largest audiobook publisher in the world. Visit graphicaudio.net and rbmediaglobal.com.